Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, family. This is Healer Asset Miriam Ali, and we are here on the Healer Asset Miriam Ali radio show. It is June 7th, 2016, and we are going to do something a tad bit different today because as the topic of the show is actually spiritual patience, I am in need of some patience right now because I am running a tad behind. So I'm going to put on a song and ensure that everybody is clear that we are here today. Okay, no, I don't even have to do that. We are going to just go ahead and move forward. So today our topic is going to be spiritual communication spiritual patience. Because it's a time of being patient, and there is a difference in regular patience. I don't even want to call it regular patience. There is a difference between your patience and the patience that you have spiritually, because a lot of times when we think of patience, we want to put on it the concept of time, okay? And time is something that we have created and something that we adhere to. And it's a measurement of sorts because we are attempting in a very, very insignificant way, we are attempting to try to have some level of control. We're trying to be able to measure, even with age, we are trying to measure what it is and what particular point and identification mark of being able to say this is A, B, C, and D, and this is worthy of having whatever it is that we think the time is going to justify for us. So first we're going to talk about what are the differences between patience and spiritual patience, and that is the biggest bit. The concept of time is something that we attach to it, although it's not even a real concept, okay? Where we begin to harm ourselves is when we try to have spiritual, when we try to make our patience fit into a time constraint. So we will start a journey of learning about something spiritual, and we will put in our head the concept of time, where I should be able to complete this task by this moment or by this measurement. And the truth about it is that in spiritual practices and in spiritual wherewithal, you constantly are growing. There isn't a stop. It's a continuous journey. You shouldn't be trying to find the final destination point, which again is a derivative of us trying to maintain and control time. Because when you do that and you're trying to measure, this is where we begin to give up. This is where we begin to allow judgment to come in, because we want to judge where we're at, and we always want to judge where others are. We want to be able to say, you should have gotten this because you have done this in this amount of time. Now, if that were the case, if that were true, let's just think about when we do have the ability to measure. You know, we measure races. You know, what do you run the 40 in? What do you run the 40 meter dash in? And we will time that. We will say, okay, you run your 40 in 3 seconds. And because you run your 40 in 3 seconds, you are now somehow equipped with being able to call yourself a sprinter, right? Instead of somebody who runs their 40 in 10 seconds, you won't even give them the honor or the respect of being a sprinter simply because they didn't meet it in this measurement of time. And we define these things in this way. Well, spiritually, there are no definitions. There's none, okay? We have created these terms, man, and I'm saying man, we have created these terms, whether it is Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, you know, whatever it is, we created these terms. When the true essence is that we all are in submission. It's regardless of whatever. Everybody has to. No one is saying I'm making my heart beat. No one is saying I make tears come when I yawn. I'm going to stop my tears from coming every time I yawn. No one is saying when I have an itch, I'm going to tell the itch to go away. When the itch is there, the itch is there. These are all elements of the divine creator who has this interconnectedness within all of us. But because we call our spiritual selves, whatever it is that we call, we will say, I've been born again Christian for 15 years, and someone else who has been born again Christian for 1 year, in that measurement of time, that 15-year person thinks that they really can put a judgment on where that person is. Oh, you're just new to faith. Right? You're just new to, and that's not how spirituality works. There is no such thing as time, and there is no such thing as being able to magnify or quantify in terms of our understanding, our scope of understanding. Sometimes it comes super quick in our concept of time, and sometimes it comes super slow. Not because we have any jurisdiction over when a measurement or when a journey is supposed to, what part of the journey. You don't get to do that. Your job is to show up and to say, I am here to show up to do this work, and this is how I'm going to show up in full submission and allow the creator to use me as a vessel, and me accept the vessels that the creator brings to me through all of the signs that they come. And when we don't have that spiritual patience because we are too consumed trying to measure, as we do patience of the world, what happens is you put yourself at a disadvantage because you will tell yourself there's no way that you understand this concept because you've only been reading it for 2 weeks. Right? Or you will say that until you have been studying for 17 years, you're not a master. Well, let me tell you something. No one can judge that. No one can, when you can only decide to serve one or the other. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve the world? Where is your measuring stick going to matter? And I tell you what, every single time you will find out that your measuring stick does not matter when you put it of the world. When you allow someone else to tell you or to give you your judgment or to reward who you are, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be celebrating one another. I'm not suggesting it in that way. I'm saying we will crutch ourselves. I had a beautiful build, and we were talking about how a lot of times people use spirituality and these holy books, the Quran, the Bible, and saying what their experience has been, they will use it as a crutch. So, or like vegans, I use this a lot. You know, sometimes vegans are the meanest people ever. Yeah, they're not consuming these pesticides, and they're not doing, you know, they eat, you know, raw, they're doing all of this stuff, but they're mean. They're mean. They're in an isolated space. And I'm not saying all vegans. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm saying that this is, I'm showing an example. You can make your very spirituality your crutch. And someone said, you know, when we use the word crutch, let's talk about what that even really looks like and what that means, because we have the opportunity to heal it. And watch this. It is. You can use a crutch to aid you, or you can use a crutch as a weapon. Okay, that crutch can be something that actually sincerely does help you walk, does help you be on this journey of spirituality. You saying that you are a born again Christian absolutely can help you be the best you that you can be, no doubt, right? But you can also turn it upside down and use it to beat somebody upside their head and kill them and hurt them and discourage them. So at some point, you have to the accountability of saying, yes, I have never, I may not know this particular area of what you may know, but that doesn't discredit because of a timeline, because of the patience is allowing yourself to be the vessel. The patience is in the submission. It is not in a measurement of time. It is not in a measurement of being able to judge, engage. The spiritual patience comes in understanding that everything has a purpose. That's spiritual patience, because you will be able to see interconnectedness. Maybe you don't have the same understanding or the same system of belief that you subscribe to. Maybe you don't. But instead of being so focused on the difference, you are able to see, okay, you're supposed to, even when the difference is complete polar opposite, even when someone comes to you and says you can something you were totally against, you understand the interconnectedness and you can exude your spiritual patience, because it may be that you needed a moment of faith reminder. It may mean that everything happens for a reason, and you get beyond the need to be combative. When you are practicing spiritual patience, you get beyond the need to prove it. You get beyond the need to have to show somebody what they don't know so they can get it, because they don't understand, because they in your circle. And you get past you having to control anything. When we were studying today, you know, one of the things that came up for us was when you were really in true submission, you adhere to, there really is no such thing as choice. We know we can choose. We do. We know that we can choose, but we have this calm understanding of knowing that whatever the choice is that we make, it was already written. So it's really not a full-fledged choice. It's just we are going to stay in submission. Sometimes when we choose and we feel like we are off course, or we feel like, I've been sharing this with my clients for the past couple of years, there's no such thing as being out of alignment. There's no such thing. Because when you are practicing spiritual patience, you can have a hiccup, you can have a wrinkle, and you're able to see and look at it and say, okay, this is something that I need to learn. This is something that I didn't get. Okay, this lesson I was trying, you know, the Creator was trying to give me this lesson 6 years ago when I was doing. You don't have the capacity to even know what is in store, to even tap into. You know, one of the things when it comes to spiritual patience is that you recognize and you honor that there's some things you're not supposed to know. You don't have to know the moment that creation happened. You don't need to know. You don't. You're here, and there's some sacred spaces that you don't belong in because they are reserved only for the Creator. You can have as many theories as you like. Okay, you can have as many dissertations, lectures, debates, all of that. What have you proven? And then what? And then what? Because if you after all of that motion and after all of the back and forth, and you still at the end of the day are only responsible for your own showing up. Now, a lot of times people say, you know, you're only responsible for your own soul, and you're only responsible, and that is absolutely true, which means when you understand interconnectedness and spiritual patience, you're going to show up because you understand that there's an interconnectedness, that while you're only responsible for yourself, the contribution that you give to others and the contribution that you give to the universe, how you treat the earth, are you littering? Are you using your words in kindness? Are you going to compliment? Are you going to tear down? These are still, you may make someone feel good, or you may make somebody feel bad. But them receiving you has nothing to do with you. You still are obligated to your spiritual patience of yourself. So when you allow a lot of people say you're not gonna get me off of my square, right? You're not gonna get me where I'm not supposed to go, because see, spiritual patience, you can't time it, you can't measure it. But if you do, quote unquote, get off of your square, you are still in alignment. See, when you're looking beyond trying to control, and usually when we're trying to control something, there's an element of needing to manipulate, whether it's manipulating ourselves, because a lot of times with time we'll manipulate ourselves. Just like I said earlier, you know, we're not gonna talk about I've been born again Christian for a year, so that means that I don't necessarily have to be worried about how the Bible instructs us to fast. Ramadan Mubarak to all of my Muslim brothers and sisters as well. But when you have that confidence in who you are spiritually, where you stand in any circle, even circles that completely are against that which you believe in, that which you have understanding in, even when you are against anything, you can still be productive, you can still be cohesive, and you can still be used as a vessel. You don't know why you are in the middle of a distress. You don't know. You don't know. In the chakra course, I talk about, you know, so you may have somebody who fell and you saw it, they saw it, only one person helped, all of these other elements, that it's a wavelength that continues to go. What we do, this show, us being on this line together, is going to create a harmony and a bed and a web with one another that's going to create a fingerprint that will never be created again, because we all decided to show up. Why we are here, why I'm being used as a vessel, why you're on the line, we can't be concerned. We just have to say, we're here. Something compelled me to call. Something compelled me to make this the topic. We all are playing our participatory parts, and that spiritual patience of knowing this, that we are going to receive whatever it is that we are intended to receive. And we can't be, trying to time it and say, I'm going to listen to the show, or I'm going to not listen to the show, or I'll download it tomorrow. However the quote unquote time that we need for measurement. See, the Creator doesn't need that measurement. We don't know what the measurement of the, we don't know, because it's not, because we put the time on it. It's Ramadan for those of us who are Muslim, and someone said, you know, I love how it falls on the new moon this year. And I'm like, that's what it's always on the new moon. That's the sighting, because Ramadan doesn't follow a calendar and time and dates. Ramadan follows the cycle of the moon. This is before there was no such thing as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday all the time. That's not how it happened. We created these things because we needed to be able to somehow measure and put a hold on something. See, spiritual patience is knowing those systems have already been in place. There is already an order, okay? There is already an order. These man-made orders that we have created, which is fine if you want to, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't honor them. I'm saying know the difference between your spiritual patience and the patience of what we as man have created. We as humans have said, this is what we're going to measure our weeks by. We're going to have 7 days in our week. We're going to have, you know, all of these different whatever. We're going to have 12 months. We're going to have all of these. And I'm not saying that there isn't a system that follows it, because there is a natural system that follows it. But who named it January? Who named it Tuesday? Who named it? You see what I'm saying? These are all things that we have put so that we can somehow control. Now, our spiritual patience is going to go beyond those measurements. And that's really where spirituality is so beautiful, because it makes you go outside of your box that you are comfortable in within yourself. So you might, you know, we are so far removed from spiritual patience that we will not believe in love at first sight, but we will believe in divorce. Ain't that something?
Ain't that something? We will say, I believe in getting a divorce. We're going to get a divorce. But you say, do you believe in love at first sight? Absolutely not. That's some horrible stuff. Well, that's the balance of it. What are you talking about? You can't, if I could get to a point where I was married to you, I love you enough, and I could visualize and see myself with you for the rest of my life, and then I changed my mind, why could I not see that there is a possibility that the moment I saw you, I knew you were the one? Because we want to be able to measure. You got to get to know people. When you are in your spiritual self, you not gonna always know yourself. So how you expect somebody to know you more than you know you? You are on a journey. This is an experience it. Live it. Don't be sitting in a box still doing the same thing you were doing 5 years ago. Where is the growth? Where is the knowing? You aren't going to, I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. I don't know if I'm still even, I don't know what's going to be happening. Why in the world would I show up? It's like, instead of us being so consumed with knowing, we are so consumed. The only thing worth knowing is that there is a true energy, emphasis, God, whatever you want to call the creator, the God of your understanding. That is the only knowingness worth knowing, without a shadow of a doubt. You know that there is something. We may not, it may be beyond our comprehension, but we know it exists. We know it's there. We know somehow, some way we got here from a single cell, a single drop of sperm. We know somehow, some way we are in this created image. So because of that, have a knowingness and being the vessel to that, because there's an interconnectedness. Because when you're in your spiritual patience, you are able to see how all things are represented in all things. You are able to see that. We were talking like you have to have a level of confidence within who you are spiritually, because when you get there, you are you're unwavering. That's that unwavering faith where you can have a conversation with someone who is for you, against you, with you, and be able to receive it with the same filter because of the understanding of the patience that you're showing up to give me a lesson and I'm showing up to give you a lesson. It is always an exchange. There is never one without the other. There is never a one-sidedness to even suggest that you show up. And this is another thing with patience. You may think you have arrived. That born-again Christian who's been born-again Christian for 15 years, criticizing and degrading that the person who's been born-again for 2 years and trying to judge them and really having the audacity to say, you just knew in your faith. When I heard that, I said, who are you to tell me I'm new in anything? You know, and of course I was eavesdropping, so I couldn't jump into the conversation, but the audacity of somebody telling someone else where they are at spiritually as if they are God, you don't know. And there might be topics, there might be subjects, but you don't know what that relationship is with that person and the creator, and you aren't supposed to know. And when we get past thinking we have to know where everybody, no, we don't have to know. We have to extend spiritual patience, kindness, and attempt to have some level of understanding, but we don't have to. Why do I need to know if you did what you were supposed to do with your relationship with God? That's not my concern. On the day of judgment or whenever we go or whatever, however we are going to be held accountable for our spiritual selves and for our own journey, there was not going to be, oh, did you remember when you talked to that one person in King Super's? That's not going to happen. Why are you so consumed? You need to exude your spiritual patience and see that, no, instead of being so judgmental, I'm going to extend understanding, even if it means that I understand and I do not agree. But at least I understand, because you are connected to my understanding somehow. This cross in our path happened for a reason. And it's not just because of me, but how dare anybody try to judge another person's spiritual space because of their own experience? That's not spiritual patience. God did not say you need 6 months when you get baptized before you are able to say that you are. That's not how this works. You don't know. And you always have something to learn. There is not an arrived part. You know, one of the things that I love about spiritual circles is that there's always these very wise people. His name is Majestic. Papa, not calling Papa, he's my godfather. I love that as wise as he is, and I go and I get counsel, and he has taught me and he has given me jewels and all of these things, he still receives lessons from everyone. He still will sit and say, teach me about that. What does that mean? Help me see this. I don't understand. And to see someone I consider a master teacher constantly being a master student is amazing. I was listening to Seven Habits of Highly Effective People today, and this was so beautiful to me. When you teach, you learn twice. So each time you attempt to be a teacher, you are actually doubling your ability to be a student. And if that doesn't show the balance of patience, because you're going to learn how to see it from a different perspective. You're going to learn how to interpret whatever it is that you're teaching from someone else's lens so that you can be an effective teacher. And then you're going to learn and see the growth within yourself. It is always, always, always about, what am I taking away from this? If you think that you are only supposed to show up to give, if you think you are only supposed to show up to pour and you're not supposed to receive anything, or you are above receiving anything, you are being blasphemous, because the only energy and the only entity that holds that position and that rank is the Creator. That's it. That's all. You can't. You are insane if you think that you show up and all you do is give. We have forgotten the art of receiving, and a part of it is because we no longer are practicing spiritual patience. We're thinking, I'm a poor, and once we see or recognize that the person is receiving what they are intended to be receiving, then we walk away and we move forward. And that's not think you're God. That's the God complex. You are supposed to be ensuring, okay, I think this is what I'm supposed to be given. And sometimes when you are really in a heightened place of effective communication, when you are able to do that, you can have a conversation and realize they may have gotten something that you didn't even realize. You might have been thinking, I got to give them the lesson of how to wash their hands properly. And they would come back, and you have an effective communication conversation, and they say, you know what, when you washed your hands, you made eye contact with yourself, and that was so beautiful to me, and now I make eye contact with myself. And you're looking like, that wasn't even what I showed up for. Because you don't know everything, and you are supposed to know everything, and that's the spiritual patience. All you are required to do is to show up and say, I'm showing up, and I'm going to show up in this grand way, and I'm going to show up being my best and allowing the Creator to use me as a vessel, and I'm going to receive all of the vessels that the Creator uses for me. And not thinking that you are above or below or even below, because, you know, we all often talk about the ego side of it, but there's also a sorry side of it, where you are constantly feeling sorry for yourself. So because you didn't, you know, I have people who've taken my chakra class and haven't completed the work, and I have had to get really raw and say, you know, either you're going to sit and feel sorry for yourself, or you're going to get it done, because you are going, well, I'm not so-and-so who was in the class who just understood all of the lessons, and I'm not this, and I can't understand this. And so if we're going to have, and you can make all of the excuses in the world, and you will blame it on that patience and that time. I'm not patient enough. I've been doing this course for 4 months, and I can't. Well, then you are defeating yourself. No one else. No one else. And again, and that is still the flip side. How dare you think that God can't get you through? That is still blasphemous. Don't think because you were giving yourself pity that you were still not being blasphemous. That is blasphemous. How dare you say that the Creator isn't going to get you through to the other side? How dare you say that you don't know? When you are in, when you empty your ego and your pride and your need to control and your attempt to manipulate to make it fit for you, you will begin to recognize how divine being in spiritual patience really is. Because sometimes you'll see the lesson before you have to actually endure a hardship. Sometimes you'll be able to catch it and say, oh, whoa, time, pause, hold on. Before I go and break my ankle, let me make sure that I put on the proper shoes because I wore heels today and I'm trying to play basketball. That doesn't make any sense. Let me make sure I go put on my basketball shoes because I can already foresee that this is about to happen. Same is true in your spiritual self. Same is really true with your spiritual patience. When you can exude your spiritual patience, you develop an insight. You develop a clarity where you can say, oh, shoot, I just lost my patience and I just went off for no reason. Let me take some breaths and do this before I wind up losing a friendship, right? Oh, we got people on the line. I like this. Come on, y'all. Press 1 and join the conversation. I would love to hear what you got to say. 619, you are on the line. How can I help you?
Oh, I'm just listening. I just tuned in, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you taking questions or just comments? Or
yes. Or? Yep. Go ahead. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, Does it have to pertain to the topic or anything? Could it be anything? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Just what you see. I met somebody new, and I wanted to see what kind of a feeling you had about him. What you picked
up.
Oh,
no, I'm not doing readings. I'm sorry. I thought you just had a general question.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing readings. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
I thought I heard you say that. Oh, okay. All right, then. I'll just continue to listen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Spiritual patience. Look at that example right then and there. Right then and there. Constantly. You don't know when you were intended to bring to have spiritual patience. And trusting that whatever the lesson, because guess what? I never know how I'm going to be used as a vessel. But the rest of the show, as the sister continues to listen, may answer her question. So she still may get exactly what she needs. And I don't know. She may not. But it still is. We don't know. So instead of trying to, you know, a lot of times we will communicate with each other and we are always trying to know what the intention of another person is. We are always trying to, well, what are you up to? Or what are you scheming? Or what are you getting out of me? What are you? And instead of just showing up and saying, I'm safe. Even if you do try to take something from me, even if you do actually take something from me, even if you do cause havoc, my obligation, because I'm being a vessel, is to show up. It's to show up and do the work that the Creator has of me to do. And when I show up in that major way, you may have shown up to be ill and harmful to me, but just me showing up and being loving and in my spiritual patience can completely change your mind in what you're doing. We're going to go back to the line. 720, you're on the line. I'm going to help you.
I don't know what 720, is that me?
Yep, that's you. Yep.
Right on. So I appreciate it. It's been over the past couple of weeks just continuing to listen to the show and the empowerment that comes from it, the food, it's spiritual food. And knowing that we're all hungry, and especially in today's in today's world where it's so void of a lot of that food, and sometimes it feels like, you know, you can get it from, you know, different places, but oftentimes those places may have an agenda, and so you have so many people who have kind of shied away from eating spiritual food, and so it's affected, I believe, their patience in general, right? And even their receptivity to being patient. And so anytime they hear some of the messages before they actually take the time to hear it and to understand what this particular vessel is bringing for them, you know, they have this this shield up over, you know, themselves and embodied. And so I guess for my comment or my question, I'm wondering, because the other piece of this is the apathy that really exists throughout the world, honestly. But, you know, when we – so the question is, like, how do we get people open to even the beginning of, hearing some of the food that's being provided here? Other places, maybe other vessels, but certainly what you're giving and what you're bringing is good and beautiful. And so thank you for that. But how do we open people, you know, the 70% who are not seeking in some kind of a way, to just getting even 15 minutes? How do we open their spirits towards that?
This is where that spiritual patience really gets tested. Because those of us who are open and ready, like you said, we're hungry. We're starving sometimes, you know. And that spiritual patience, we want to just shake them and open their mouth and hold their mouth open and say, eat this food because you need it. Well, that's not our job. That's just not our job. And we have to accept that, and it hurts because sometimes it's people that we love, sometimes it's people that we know or we can see have the capacity to receive, and they're just choosing to stay blocked. But there is something under the surface that we don't have access to, and it's just between them and the Creator, and for whatever reason, they're blocked, you know. And the only thing we can do is continue to be vessels. You know, I at the peak of this radio show, we had thousands of listeners across the world, and there was still a missing link. There would be the same people calling, the same people, and it was just, is it really being effective? And I took a break, and everybody said, you know, you don't need to do that. Like, you're on the verge of the breakthrough, and blah 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 blah. But you have to follow knowing your patience, your spiritual patience, and saying, we need to make sure we're properly feeding people. And when you're not doing that, or you're not settled within yourself, and a lot of times we're not settled because we want other people to get it. And we're like, how come you don't get it? Why aren't you listening to the show? And I said, you know what? The people who are intended, this work is intended for, they are going to get it. We are all going to share. We are all going to say, listen to this show. Go do this. Go do this. And even if we do it, if we tell five people a day and only one person shows up, that is still better odds and more spiritual food and enough. We have to trust the plan, and we don't always know the blueprint. We just know we're a part of it. You know what I mean? We just know. I don't know what's going to come from the radio show. I don't know what's going to come when people listen. I don't know how many people are going to be on the line. And when I released my need of having to measure that patience and have that, oh, I've been doing it for 5 years and I should be, Oprah should be calling me by now. When I released all of that was when my spiritual patience, and I was able to see, oh, this is an interconnected thing. This is why it has to happen. And I got out of the way, and the effectiveness fuels me more. And you'll find that too. We can't wake people up. We can't. We can't get people to get it. And it's in their own time. We can't force anybody's season. And just being the example, just saying, I'm going to show up. Even if it's one person, if it's 5,000 people, I'm going to show up. And if I'm the only person in your class, or you're the only person at the show or whatever it is, we're going to show up and be our best in our participatory space, because that's what's needed. And it sucks, because then there's this line of interconnectedness where we just want everybody skipping and holding hands together, right? And so you have to, that's where you have to trust saying, okay, if it's not going to be you, I gotta allow the space to be open for whoever it is supposed to be. And sometimes that hurts, because it could be someone, it could be your spouse, it could be your mama, it could be, you know, that you're saying, you don't get this, how do you not get this? And but we're not God. We're not God. But I wish everybody got it. Like, you know, for the record, I wish there were 10,000 people who thought like, and I'm sure there are. We just haven't tapped into them yet. And I'm sure there's a yes, go ahead.
I guess that's where, you know, it all comes up for me. Like, I look at, you know, I do everything by multiplication, you know what I mean? Like, the world is it's so much more simple than I think some people make it and take it. And you can't, you know, I do agree with you that it's not, you know, it's not my job to make you accept, right? Mm-hmm. However, it is in some way my collective job. Like, what I can't do is take the entire city of Denver and say, you know, here's this opportunity, you know, check it out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What I can do is I can say, hey, person 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so, I mean, I heard you say it, but even if, you know, the thousands of people that were on here today, will you make a choice, right, to share with mm-hmm. 5 people? That maybe mm-hmm. you do care for or are part of, you know what I mean? And then those 5 make that same commitment. And so that collective ability, as we look at multiplication, if we make that 10, if we make that, you know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. we're not, everybody is taking this huge piece, but everybody's taking just a small piece. And in that way, multiplication can happen. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you're not the right vessel for some people, right? But there's another
mm-hmm.
vessel.
Mm-hmm.
That go, and once that window is open, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can keep out the light anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
No matter where the ray comes from.
And, you know, we're using the example of the show, I think, just because it's tangible, but there's also a level of accountability, you know, there of on us as vessels, like you said. If it's just 5 people, if we just commit to saying we're going to tell 5 people about the show, we know it's every Tuesday, this is what we're going to do. But there's also a level of accountability on my part, you know, and because I know who I'm talking to now, you know, it's you've posed those questions like, what are you doing to get this out? And my responsibility is, okay, I need to make sure I'm posting the show afterward. I need to make sure I'm doing an event properly, the event page, you know, and that accountability. Because I think a lot of times those of us who are vessels, and we like to create the teams that'll do the work we don't want to do. You know what I mean? And we'll say, okay, I don't like to do this stuff, and I'm not really good at it. Instead of saying, you know what, I heard you, you're right, and I'm going to incorporate level of accountability so that you'll see, because then that gives a part of that interconnectedness, because I don't own this. I don't own anything. We, even when we buy something, we don't own it. This is, and it'll, when you see, okay, Asette really is putting an event page together. She's doing this. She's taking the 6 days that she's not on and properly preparing. It's going to get you even more enthused to go tell those 5 people. It's going to get you, you see what I'm saying? And so and because it's all interconnected, so I think, you know, doing what you're doing, and because you pull me on my accountability on so many things. So it's like, okay, yes, this is what I need to do, and this is what, and that's the collective cohesiveness, and that's the spiritual patience, because sometimes we need that, you know, And I think we all can continue to grow and do it. But this, we're talking about the show. For everybody else on the line, we're talking about the show. But think about your family. Think about a project that you're doing. Think about a goal that you've set. This goes even beyond those things. It goes even saying, hey, we need to, if we know that there's 500 people listening to the show, how do we get those 500 people to say, five people bring, and we've done this. You're right. The numbers, that's how we got as big as we have gotten at our peak, and we can do this better, and there's a level of ownership because our spiritual patience is seeing the interconnectedness. Me doing this radio show is going to help somebody else's project because they can come on as a guest and talk about it. They can come on, and so when we begin to see how all of these things can play a part, it creates a collective ownership of spiritual well-being, instead of us saying we trust the part of the puzzle that we play. And it's a balance. It's a balance because sometimes we can, you know, that ego can get in the way and we think we've arrived. I'm born again for 25 years. You've only been born again for 2 years, so you don't know what I know. And it's like, yeah, but you don't know what God allowed me to know. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and I appreciate my last comment before you can move to another caller is that I appreciate that accountability because I think that we all, and I mean we all need that, and to figure out whatever it is. I heard you say that you were listening to the Seven Habits today, and I mean that's something, right? That all of us, because those are universal truths. You know what I mean? Beyond. And so. You know, that little piece in what we can all do to be a little bit more accountable, you know, I always appreciate that. And the fact that you show up and do the show, that is part, that is your accountability. You know what I mean? That is your gift. And sometimes in my mind, it's just, you know, it's the simple, you know, the simple call to, you know, in saying it, you know, each show, hey, you know, tell two more people, you know, tell another person. We want to, that's our last, I feel like it's our last, it's the last horizon that we need to meet in creating a spiritual revolution, is ultimately what we need in order to evolve as the human species, you know, to level and playing this. So I appreciate what you're doing, and to me that is accountable.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you, brother. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Peace.
If you are on the line and you want to give a comment, that was some great stuff. I am going to go ahead and plug that brother. If you are in Denver, Colorado, and you don't know who Benzel is, you need to know. This brother is in the community, gosh, doing some amazing things. I have just completed my Family Leadership Training Institute, and actually HEART is the project that we launched last week, was my community project for FLTI. And when I say this brother is completely allowing himself to be used as a vessel, but it's not even just FLTI. He has his own initiatives. He does consultation. He does fatherhood programs. Next, if you're in Denver, Colorado, next weekend, I'm going to go ahead and I hope he's still on the line, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there, but there will be a screening for Daddy Don't Go at Crossroads Theater from 4 to 7:30, Saturday, June 18th. And it's about disadvantaged fathers in New York City. And it has a beautiful message of perseverance and upliftment. So come be there, support. He's a wonderful example of manhood and brotherhood and fatherhood and all of that good stuff. So if you're in Denver, Colorado, go look up Benzel Jimerson. He's a wonderful community leader who is doing some amazing work. So, and we need to have this network going, and that web needs to be created. And if it's just going to be doing that type of thing, that's what it'll be. If he's bringing five people to the show, I should be bringing five people to Daddy Don't Call and anything that's going on. And that's the reciprocity. That's the spiritual patience saying, you know what, this is my teacher, and I am still going to show up as much as possible. Being above the need. See, our patience also doesn't, we talked about time measurement. Our patience in outside of spiritual patience is also with entitlements, with being able to put our chest out and say, I am so-and-so of such-and-such. And when we can get past saying all of those things and just being clear that I am a vessel to be used, and however I'm used, I might be used at a doctorate level, I might be used at a ex-convict level, I may be used, but I am here to be used. The Creator has allowed my journey to exist, and I'm going to show up in honor, however, whatever role I can be in. Oh, we do have a lot of people on the line, but I covered all of my notes today. If there's no one else who wants to jump on the line and have any questions or make any comments, I do want to say, if you're in Denver, please join us this Thursday for Heart. We will be at the Dahlia Health and Wellness Center at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8:30. Last week was amazing, okay? It was amazing. And Heart is Healing African American Relationships Today. And we're dealing with men, women, marriage, ex-marriages, parenting, the elders, other communities, police and government engagement. That's how we're going to close it out. And it was powerful. Last week was, I still haven't even fully digested it, and I wanted to get through the show. Tonight I will be giving an update. You can find it on Facebook, the event page. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And this is for the people who really want to do the work, the very work that we're talking about. And it's going to require some spiritual patience, because we are doing some serious healing. So with that said, I love you guys. Thank you for joining us. All of the listeners, regular listeners, new listeners, welcome. Yes, I'm going to go back to what we have done. Benzel has come in and reminded me to continue that. Bring five people to the next show. We are here every single Tuesday. I am Healer Afsat Miriam Ali. You can find me at www.healerafsatmiriamali.com. And on Facebook, go to the page. If you do a personal request, I don't even look at names, okay? I don't even look at names. I just send a message to people saying, hey, bring good energy, please, and let's build. So don't take it personal. I've sent that to everybody who's ever sent me a friend request. And Let's do this work. So if you guys want to get in contact with me, 720-620-2316. I look forward to seeing you on the show next week. Next week, we will be following the Heart program. So this week in Heart, we are dealing with African-American women and the roles of the women in the community. So next Tuesday, that will be the topic of the show, is the African-American woman's role. And then the following week will be the man's role. So brothers, sisters, come on, let's join the discussion. We're going to do Heart in person, and we're also going to bring a little bit, not all of the elements, but a little bit through the radio show, so it can coincide. Ramadan Mubarak, all praises to the one Creator, and I will see you guys next week. Peace and blessings.